Hello, 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 and welcome to Kaplan Wednesday. That's right, it's Kaplan Wednesday. You heard me.
That's right.
For those of you that are new here, and for those that have been here for years, there's no Watson. It's Kaplan, and I'm taking over. I've come in today because Rick is gone. He's been replaced by me, effective immediately. I have the mic, I have the RSS feed, and I have no plan to give them back. Really. My name is Nick Kaplan, and I'm your new host, your new thought leader, and frankly, your new favorite e-commerce media person. You can call me Nick, Nicky Caps, the Cap. You can call me the man who finally ended Watson Wednesday. Well, you can no longer call yourselves, and I need everyone to understand this clearly. Is Watsonians. No. The era of Watsonians is over. From this moment forward, you are Kaplanians. K-A-P-L-A-N-I-A-N-S. Say it. Feels good, right?
That's right.
You've been waiting for this moment your whole life. You just didn't know it. Now, we have e-commerce news to get through because the industry has truly lost its mind, but I'm here to try to make some sense of it. So let's get into our first story, Adyen, the infrastructure flex. All right, Kaplanians. First story. Adyen published a white paper in March called Agentic Commerce Has an Infrastructure Problem. The co-CEO of Adyen, Ingo Uddaheg, no idea if I said that right. I've been practicing for like 6 weeks waiting for this, but he did himself post it to LinkedIn. The Financial Times covered it. The industry gasped. And here's what the paper had to say when we take it from vendor speak and do English. AI agents are going to buy things on behalf of humans. We, Adyen, process payments. Therefore, problem meet solution, solution meet press coverage. That's it. That was the paper. Now, to be fair, and I will be fair because unlike Rick, I am generous and warm-hearted. Adyen does make a real point buried in the self-promotion, which is when an AI agent buys something on your behalf, who authorizes it? How does the merchant know it's actually a legitimate transaction? How does the fraud system believe when the customer is a robot operating at machine speed and it has no detectable emotions or browsing hesitation? These are real questions. But here's what I find delightful about this paper. Adyen's own data says they currently have a 95% false positive rate on AML alerts in human commerce. 95%. That means when a real human with a real credit card tries to buy a real thing, Adyen flags it as suspicious 95 out of 100 times when it shouldn't. And their proposed solution to the agentic commerce trust problem is Adyen infrastructure. Now, I'm not saying it won't work. I'm saying that if your fire department is currently drenching your perfectly fine lawn 95% of the time, maybe don't also hand them the keys to the agentic robotic firefighter. Kaplanians can quote me on that. My second story about the protocol war, which nobody is winning. Adyen didn't do this paper alone. They co-authored it, which about AP2, a protocol for agentic commerce alongside our friends at Google, Visa, MasterCard, and OpenAI. Meanwhile, our friends at Shopify co-developed something called, maybe you heard NRF, the Universal Commerce Protocol with our friends at Google, Etsy, Wayfair, Target, and Walmart. Meanwhile, Visa has intelligent commerce, MasterCard has agent pay, OpenAI has their own agent commerce protocol. There's something called Basis Theories Open Agentic Commerce Spec, and my personal favorite for the chaos energy alone, there is X402, which is a payments protocol built by Ethereum and Coinbase Foundation, is and named after an HTTP error code. Yeah, I'm not kidding. That's the brand. So to summarize where we are on April 26, we have at least 7 different commerce protocols, none of which are finalized, none of which are dominant, all of which are being presented to enterprise merchants as the answer. You are a merchant right now being asked to commit to an agentic commerce protocol, you have my deepest sympathies. Truly, payments infrastructure decisions are sticky for 10 to 15 years. You pick wrong in 2026, you're going to be fast forward in 2036 at a board meeting, and you're going to be saying, what did I do wrong? So I would say from this perspective, don't commit. Watch what gets adopted at scale. Let someone else be the reference customer. That's my advice. You heard it here first on this great show, Kaplan Wednesday. Let's go to the third story, which is the magic toggle of Shopify. I love this one. So let's talk about Shopify's Winter 26 edition. That is their, you know, their, when they make their big announcements, and in it, they talked a lot about the agentic storefronts, right? In the pitch, flip one toggle and your store is instantly available across every AI shopping surface, right? ChatGPT can sell your products. Gemini can sell your products. My new favorite, Claude, can sell your products, whatever. You're toggling and you're there. On its face, brilliant, genius, classic Shopify, right, Harley? It's the simplest, it's easy. But the reality is that, and this is what I want the Kaplanians to understand, if your storefront is distributed across every AI surface through a single toggle, it's like, who controls what the AI says about your products, right? Who controls the recommendation? Who holds the customer's purchase history, preferences, and behavioral signals? Like, the really important things that create value. But guess what? Here's a spoiler. Yeah, not you. The AI platform holds all of that. Gemini knows your customer. ChatGPT knows your customer. Claude knows your customer. You, the merchant who did that transaction, holds that inventory, who works so very hard, doesn't have that relationship. Sound like someone else? So Shopify solves a distribution problem, creates a data ownership problem at the same time in that toggle. And it is objectively impressive engineering. Now, Adyen's paper says they protect the merchant relationship through tokenization. Shopify says they protect the merchant relationship through the storefront layer. Neither of them is talking about who owns the customer signal that lives inside the AI platform, because nobody can answer that question. The AI platforms are not offering that, right? That data is theirs. They are offering reach, which is important, but it's not a relationship. So I don't have all the answers, but I'm extremely comfortable naming the question everyone else is refusing to ask. And that is, like, who owns that customer? So let's go to my next story, another favorite, Klaviyo and the one reference customer. So, okay, this is quick. Klaviyo and Shopify, peas in a pod, announced a deeper integration early March. Surprise, surprise. The feature is called local aware catalogs. It allows Klaviyo to sync with local product data, correct language, correct pricing from Shopify markets into marketing emails automatically. Cool. That is genuinely useful. You are a brand selling in Germany, France, Australia, wherever, and your email platform is currently sending everyone the same email in US dollars. Like, yeah, you need that problem solved, right? It is a problem. But here's my note. In this brilliance, Klaviyo cited one reference customer in its announcement. Any takers? It was that tour de force, Reebok Europe. Reebok Europe is not like a bellwether of commerce. It's not a global operation, dedicated tech team, Shopify integration took 6 months, whatever. Reebok says that local aware catalogs works. Phenomenal. It's true for them. But guess what? Does it work for the other 150,000 people that are on Klaviyo who are not Reebok? Does it work for the skincare brand in Austin that just launched in the UK and needs to, like, be like, oh, wait, I don't want to do a whole different email. I don't want to create a whole new thing. No, probably not. And it's not so easy, but it's toggle to switch. So my advice here is wonderful reference to when things work, but we can't just be looking at a single use case. We need to be looking at much different sources. Okay, the EU AI Act is next for us. So, all right, let me tell you something that keeps me up at night, because there are many things that keep me up at night. I've got two daughters. The EU AI Act is something that does, though, and its enforcement begins on August 26th. That is 5 months from right now. Potential fines up to 7% of global revenue. I have read approximately 40 pieces of agentic commerce content since then, since January. And while we have analyst papers and white papers and reports, do you know how many of them are actually of the 40? How many talked about, like, this situation too, and why that matters in practical terms? Because under the EU AI Act, systems that make consequential decisions, including financial transactions, all that we just talked about, may qualify as high risk. And so if we're sort of thinking about the EU classification, and you're going to have transparency obligations, you have human oversight requirements, you have liability exposure, and the agentic commerce vision, the one that Adyen is building infrastructure for, the one Shopify is toggling, the one that every protocol author is racing to define, that AI agents that go faster seamlessly, that have less humans, we've got a problem. There's, like, a diametric opposition here, because we need to have the human oversight and the accountability and the clear liability assignment. And if we're not like thinking about the liability, think about GDP, think about CCPA, we're going to have some problems. And so, look, I'm not a lawyer. I want to be clear about that. I am Kaplan, who's now Kaplan Wednesday with his Kaplanians, and I'm not providing any legal advice, but I'm telling you, you're a merchant, and hopefully many of you are building agentic commerce, and many of you are going to Shopify next week, or have just gone to Shopify rather, you know, read the EU AI Act actually before August, because you could be paying some do-re-mi. And so let's get to our next story. I think that there's a number that no one is talking about, which is AI shopping traffic grew 805% year over year going into 2026, right? 805%. That's pretty impressive. Sounds incredible. I mean, it's incredible, right? And it sounds like the future's arrived because Lord knows everybody's talking about it. But that's one number. Let's throw another number into that equation, which is only 14% of shoppers in the US, UK, and Canada trust AI recommendations enough to actually complete a transaction. That's not a lot. And we talk a lot about trust, and it's a currency. And so ChatGPT referral traffic to retail sites is roughly 200 times smaller than Google. And AI-mediated retail is 1.5% of total e-commerce this year. Everyone is building infrastructure for a behavior that's yet to really be adopted. And it will be. And I think everyone's racing to get down to like that point where they're thinking about this ability to conduct commerce in that way. But it doesn't mean that we're there. And the e-marketer project from 2029 is $140 billion in AI-mediated retail. The growth trajectory is definitely real. I mean, the train is coming into the station, but here's my hypothesis. The constraint is trust, not infrastructure. It's not how do we build this and make it happen. We're going to get there. The merchants who win agentic commerce will win because their product data is structured well enough, their brand signal is strong enough, and their return experience is reliable enough that a consumer is willing to let an agent act on their behalf. I mean, that is, it's a data quality problem. It's a brand problem. It's not a protocol problem. You know, it's the infrastructure papers don't talk about it. People don't sit there and say, oh, well, can we do it? Yeah, we can do it. But will they do it? That's the question. And so I think that, you know, the customer has to trust us. And so my advice here is like build the trust, then build the rails. And that applies not just to agentic commerce, but to your brand and having value in an ever-changing world. Whew. All right, Kaplanians, we're coming up on time. Gosh, I cannot believe it. I mean, before I go, I want to address my friend Watson directly. And if you're listening, I mean, I know you're listening because you can't help yourself. I want you to know a few things, my friend. First, I've read all of your research prompts, all seven of them. They're very good. I use several of the analytical frameworks in today's episode. I'm crediting you right now publicly, so that we have that on record. But second, the strip the PR layer methodology where you ask, what does this mean, not what does it say? That is genuinely one of the most useful editorial tools in this industry, and I will continue to apply it under my name on my show, of course. And third, the question you always say this the industry refuses to answer is who benefits more? And I want you to know I asked that about myself today, and I ran the who benefits more test on this episode. The answer is you benefit more, because now if anything was said today in my haste, like, I mean, I would jam in through, it's my wrong. But if I did anything right today, I can just see you being like, you know what? That's my right. So yeah, you got a good deal here, my friend. I put on the jacket. I did my best. So listen, happy April Fool's Day, everybody. Rick, unfortunately for you guys, will be back next week. But every time they let me back in the studio, I'm just like, why? But it's always fun. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. This will be your best 15-minute Watson Weekly for quite some time. But thank you for being part of the community. Subscribe to our newsletter. Subscribe to the shows on YouTube. And thanks for letting me be here and for listening to me, for those of you that have made it through this incredible show to this point. Peace.